You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's AFC South Week as we continue our NFL previews and the Tennessee Titans on the clock today. Teresa Walker joins us on a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. She's from the Associated Press. How are you, Teresa?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to get a feeling for last year. It's the first year for Mike Vrabel. They don't make the playoffs, but they do play a game where they could have gotten into the playoffs the last week of the season. They didn't make it, but was there a sense that last year was successful, not successful? How did they quantify last season's 9-7 record?
Well, not successful. Mike Vrabel has made it clear that while 9-7 is better than 500, it's good, but it wasn't good enough. And that's kind of been the goal this offseason, trying to find a way to squeeze out that little bit of extra to be a better team, to try to win it. You know, the goal is to win a division title and get into the playoffs and try to play for a Super Bowl. They didn't do that last year, so not happy. But as you mentioned, last year, weird situation. I mean, think about it. Mike Vrabel opens his career coaching in the longest game in NFL history,
right,
at least since the merger, in Miami. Loses his three-time Pro Bowler, Delanie Walker, in that game. Also, you know, Marcus Mariota's favorite target in his career. And, yeah, that kind of, then his coordinator missed a key game in Indianapolis because he went to the hospital. You know, that was just some of the strange things. A veteran wide receiver who was expected to kind of lead that receiver group, Rishard Matthews, asked to be released, had only had three catches coming off of the off-season injury. And so it was just one strange thing after another. So you would think that maybe the Titans got that out of the system last year for Mike Vrabel.
What makes Vrabel different in terms of as a coach? I mean, ever since Fisher was let go, it has been a kind of a revolving door with coaches, from Wisenant, Malarkey, Munchak. Now Vrabel, is he a different type of coach than they've gone after in the past? Or is he another guy they just are hoping works out?
Kind of a mix. Now, John Robinson, the current GM, you know, he started at the New England Patriots. And yes, they hired Mike Vrabel because, you know, he's that guy who's seen by an awful lot of people as that next great coach because of his background, having won three Super Bowls with Belichick in New England. He's also, you know, started his career with Bill Cowher in Pittsburgh, coached at Ohio State under Urban Meyer, and then with the Houston Texans under Bill O'Brien. And, you know, he's seen as maybe being that guy, and that's the reason why, you know, everyone's been going over after trying to get that next Belichick disciple. Well, they think that they've got one who's maybe along that same path, but, you know, with a little bit maybe different experience, not just simply in the Belichick system. So, you know, yes, they are trying to hopefully clone and create, you know, when they introduced it last year, they made it very clear. We'd like something that is so successful that instead of it being called the Patriot way, it's called the Titan way someday. So, you know, they are trying to tap into that, but you know what? That's exactly what somebody was trying to do when they hired Ken Wisenhunt and gave him a 5-year deal, outbidding Detroit, trying to get him here. And, you know, now Mike Munchak, you know, Jeff Fisher and the Titans parted late enough that, you know, they looked around and it's like, you know what, let's go with Mike Munchak. And, you know, a guy who, you know, unfortunately for him, they hired him the year of the lockout. He didn't get a chance to even talk to his players until the last week of July. So, not an easy situation to start your tenure under as a head coach.
Teresa Walker, again, AP in Nashville, joins us to talk Tennessee Titans as we continue our NFL previews. Marcus Mariota, this is like one of those make or break years, right? This is the money year. What did they like from him, but what does he need to work on, and what is he still struggling with?
Well, the one thing that they have said over and over this offseason is they want him to just be himself, be aggressive. You know, he kind of dove into the, you know, flipped into the end zone Saturday night for a 2-point conversion against New England. And fans are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Teammates are like, don't do that again. Well, I asked Mike Vrabel about it, and he's like, We want him playing aggressive. We want him playing free. That's been the one thing. Go out there and just play. I don't think they really want him, you know, thinking too much, you know, to put it bluntly. They just want him to go out there and just compete and be the guy in a way that he was at Oregon, just going out there trying to make plays. Now, to help him do that, you're absolutely right. Contract year, he's making $20.9 million this year, but this, he doesn't have anything after this year. He's got that in common with at least 14 or 13 other players on this Titans roster, including Derrick Henry. But they went out and they got Adam Humphries. They drafted A.J. Brown out of Ole Miss. They bolstered the offensive line, signing Roger Saffold away from the Rams. So they have tried their best to surround him with possibly the best talent he's had as he goes into his fifth and deciding year in the NFL.
We get paralysis by analysis sometimes when we overthink some things, but the idea of Marcus Mariota in this league since his arrival in the NFL under so many different coordinators and even head coaches, has that plagued him? Has that been a problem, or are we overvaluing that?
Well, you ask him about it and he'll downplay it. You know,
sure.
His job is just go out. That said, how can it not? I mean, it's been different voices, you know, different, you know, coaches. I mean, it's just been a revolving door there. That's the one reason why Mike Vrabel, when he looked around trying to replace when Matt LaFleur went from coordinator to head coach in Green Bay, you know, trying to get some sort of continuity, he promoted Arthur Smith from tight ends coach to coordinator. Arthur Smith, as a tight ends coach, had been really involved in, you know, pass and run blocking with tight ends. So, and he's been here throughout Marcus Mariota's tenure. Arthur Smith's a guy who, you know, Vrabel's now his fourth different coach. You know, so he's in a similar boat that he's seen the different changes. Now, he's tried to change this offense, but kept all the language the same. And when you ask about what they're going to do differently on offense, you don't get a whole lot of questions or, you know, a whole lot of details and responses, but they make it clear that they want to try to attack teams, and it seems like Arthur Smith might be a bit of an aggressive kind of play caller, at least based on what we've seen on the first two preseason games. But that voice, that's somebody that Marcus Mariota knows that voice, feels very comfortable walking into his office and talking about what they're doing on offense together. So, you know, they're trying to minimize and reduce that because, yes, this is a crucial year. They've got to know what they can get out of Marcus Mariota, and if he can help them get from that good to great.
We saw Derrick Henry last year, especially late last year, really pour it on in those big runs and those big numbers. Is this a workhorse back? I mean, in terms of his production, how do they see the running game under this offense going into 2019?
Well, the one thing they've made clear is they want Derrick Henry to start this year and play the entire season the way he did in December. You know, he was second in the AFC in rushing and I think third in rushing touchdowns. 625 yards in the month of December, and in the final from weeks 9 through 17, his 6 yard per carry average led the NFL. Well, they want that the whole season. And, you know, he kind of struggled coming out of the gate last year, and, you know, they were talking about trying to maybe unload him at a certain point. And he had a talk with Eddie George, and Eddie kind of reminded him, it's like, dude, your next carry could be your last. And, you know, that kind of mindset adjustment, whatever, it all worked. And Derrick Henry started running like the back that, you know, won a Heisman Trophy at Alabama. And so, yes, the Titans have made it very clear. We want that guy starting September 8th in Cleveland and for an entire year. And you know, Deion Lewis, yes, they still like him very, very much. They want him to be part of that mix. But the guy who's going to be starting in Cleveland is going to be Derrick Henry.
Defensively, not surprisingly, but I don't know if how many people paid attention. Defensively, they're pretty good. They're one of the best scoring defenses in the league. What does it look like this year? Have they shored up the secondary? Because I know that has been a problem.
Well, every starter is back in that secondary, and pretty much everybody there is getting big money, with the exception of third-year cornerback Adoree Jackson. They made Kevin Byard the highest-paid safety right before training camp. He leads the NFL in interceptions combined over the last two seasons. So, yeah, they were number three in scoring defense, sixth against the pass. Where they struggled most was in that pass rush. They only got two sacks combined from Derek Morgan and Brian Aracco last year, outside backer. Both of those guys retired, and they've got Harold Landry in his second year. They signed Cameron Wake from Miami to plug into the other spot. And on paper, it looks like they're going to have a chance to get more sacks. And if they can get a few more sacks, they're going to be in position to be even better. This is the second year in Dean Pease's scheme. He came back after getting a little health issue fixed after the season. And, you know, yeah, they believe that they can do even better. And, yeah, keep an eye on that secondary. I think if they can get a better pass rush, they may be able to improve on what they did last year. And they weren't too bad. Six against pass, third scoring defense, where they've got to shore up, get more sacks, and defend the run better.
Not to kind of credit the secondary, but if you don't have a pass rush, you'd really have no. The secondary can't really do much else if you can't get to the quarterback and force him to throw.
Exactly. It's one reason why they drafted Jeffrey Simmons at 19 overall, even though they know they're going to have to be patient while he recovers from an ACL. So, yeah, that's the thing. Try to get a little bit more pressure on that quarterback, and keep an eye on the inside linebackers. Rashawn Evans was the first-round pick a year ago. He's starting on the inside next to Jayon Brown. Two very young linebackers, but with a lot of speed and a lot of attitude.
So give me an idea of where you see this division now, because if you give Jacksonville a boost now with Nick Foles, and you know they weren't that far away from going to the AFC Championship not that long ago, but if you throw them now with Nick Foles, if everyone's healthy, and I know it's a big if with Andrew Luck, this is one of those divisions where, you know, 10-6 could win it and everyone's kind of beating each other up a little bit. Are the Titans a team that kind of can emerge out of that?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, there's 14 players in the final year of their deals. They're all playing for that next contract.
Right.
So that can be a motivation alone. But you're right. This division was the only division in all of football last year to have three teams with winning records. And, you know, and Jacksonville was the odd man out. And now they fix their quarterback situation. So, yeah, this may be, again, the most competitive division. And the team that keeps their quarterback healthiest for the longest in most games, that might be the thing that pushes a team to the division title.
Teresa, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Hope to get you on during the season. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You got it. Teresa Walker, AP in Nashville on the Titans, and basically reiterated what we've been saying about this division, which is, look, stay healthy. Everyone's got a shot. Really, everyone should have a shot. I should say should, because we still look at Indianapolis, and I have no idea what's going on with Luck, right? But again, this is all on paper right now. Until we get to the season, we know what these teams look like. We know what they've got. If we have an idea of what these teams are going to be going into the season, this is a division where God pick, right? I mean, look, the Texans are, you know, really good. The Titans can be good. They got a pretty good defense. It should get better. You got Indianapolis with Andrew Luck and a great offensive line that's giving him time. They didn't let him get sacked for five straight games last year. You've got Jacksonville and Nick Foles. You're expecting a resurgence, you know, a little bit of a comeback there. And yet you don't see an upper echelon team. When we talk of the AFC, right? Isn't this the division we leave out? And it has been. I mean, I'm sorry, but that has been. We talk about the Patriots. We talk about the Steelers. We even throw in the Ravens, right, into that mix. We talk about the Chargers, and we talk about the Chiefs. There are teams that are built for Super Bowl or bust. Give me a team in the AFC South that is Super Bowl or nothing, right? She pointed out, Mike Vrabel thought it was a failure because they didn't make the playoffs to win the Super Bowl. But all coaches say that. But in reality, I got to tell you, a 9-7 out of the gate, first time head coach, I'll take it right now. If I'm a Titans fan and I'm looking long term, I'll take it. Because there's nothing worse when you get a new coach knowing that there's going to be an adjustment period, right? If he's stripping everything down and building it back up, and more likely you'll struggle with a couple of things, but it's an admission that you've got to go in a different direction, and maybe that direction takes a while. Well, they went 10-7 and had a chance to make the playoffs in a division where 12-4, 13-3 wasn't needed. Right? Ron and I talked about this all last year. The team no one was paying attention to was the Chargers. Right? And the Chargers had to keep pace with a team, the Kansas City Chiefs, was winning double-digit games. Right? And yet in the AFC South, right, 10-6. 10-6 was going to win it. And it could have been 9-7. Right? It could have been 9-7. Plus or minus here or there. And the Colts had to win the division by winning 9 of their last 10 games. Right? So look at that division and say, nothing goes screaming out of there. I'm waiting for Houston to pop, but nobody's popping out of that division. Doesn't mean they can't be a threat. Playoffs, anything can happen. But we're going to do this all week. We're going to talk about this kind of all week about how just where is the super team out of this division? There isn't any. There just isn't any. All right? But again, it does, and there isn't a bottom feeder either. At least there shouldn't be. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We'll give our final thoughts on the Titans as we wrap up our NFL preview on SB Nation Radio.